Amen. We're in Psalm 76. We're going to talk tonight from Psalm 76, 77, 78. The title tonight is A Heart That Limits God. We never want to limit God. Amen. So we're back tonight with the Psalms of Asaph. And let's begin Psalm 76 and let's look at it together. It says, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. Verse 1. It says, in Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem, or literally that's Jerusalem, an ancient name for Jerusalem, of course, the eternal capital of Israel. It says, in Salem also, in his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. When I read that verse, you know what happened to my heart? I said immediately to the Lord, I said, oh Lord, may verse 1 be true for this nation. May Lord, in America, I pray that you are known. Amen? That God is known here. Not the way, you know, in God we trust. That doesn't mean our country knows God. Amen? No, I'm talking about a revival. I pray that his name becomes great again in our nation, coast to coast, every city, every state, every county. I mean, the White House. Amen? Oh, let his name be magnified. And there's only one way to know God, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. We all know that. Jesus said himself in John 5:23, he says, oh, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. 1 John 2:23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The only way to God the Father is Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, thank God that we're saved tonight and we have access into heaven through the blood of Jesus. And look what God has done. Asaph cries that, oh, there he, meaning God, he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword of battle, Selah. You, meaning God, you are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Asaph is praising the Lord here. And he's saying, God, you are not only light, you are illuminated in all of your glory. And he says, oh, it was there that God broke the arrows. There meaning Jerusalem, meaning that God defeated Israel's enemies. Amen? But God hasn't defeated the enemies here in our nation. Have you noticed that now with COVID, and maybe it's slowing, maybe it's not, I don't listen to the news anymore, but the news that I have heard, here we are again in the midst of two mass shootings again in our nation. Oh, one day, you know what's going to happen? Every weapon will be gone in Jesus' name, and Jesus will be ruling, and we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Amen? Yes. Look at verse 5. He says, oh, the stout-hearted, meaning those enemy soldiers against Israel. He says, the stout-hearted were plundered or paralyzed with fear. He says, and they've sunk into a deep sleep. He says, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. In other words, the soldiers were all paralyzed with fear. They were probably actually dead. You know what I mean? And what a picture of our world tonight. I mean, our world, is it asleep? It is asleep. Man, and guess who it's asleep in? 1 John 5:19, it says that we know that the whole world lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle, being rocked asleep, if you will, of the wicked one. Well, that's what he wants to do. He says in verse 7, you yourself are to be feared. And that's right, no one else but God. He says, and you may stand, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? Oh, you caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared. The earth was still. In other words, it's like it fell to its knees and just literally the earth started to hold its breath. It's painting a picture here for us. And when God arose, meaning when God arose to execute judgment, to declare all the oppressed of the earth, he says, or to deliver all the oppressed of the earth, Selah, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, and with the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. Listen, one day God will cause all man's wrath to praise him. Amen? All of their anger, all of the, even like Nebuchadnezzar of old, look what God did to him. And even Pharaoh, listen, in the end, yes, God, take your people. We worship. Go, just go. Get out of here. Oh, one day that's going to happen. Man's hatred turned into praise. On that day, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen? It says, make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. And he shall cut off the spirit of the princes. He is awesome, or literally, he is terrible to the kings of the earth, meaning the ungodly kings. Now, Psalm 77. This is a really good little psalm right here. It says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. If you ever wanted to see a troubled man, you're about to find one right here. Look at verse 1. It says, Asaph says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? Man, when you're in trouble, he's the greatest person in the world to seek. You know it? In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. I was seeking the Lord. Look what he says. And my hand was stretched out. In other words, stretched out toward heaven. And he was praying in the night without ceasing. He says, my soul, now watch this. My soul, all that I am, watch, refused to be comforted. What kind of word is that? He said, he's praying to God, and he says, I refuse. It was like he was saying, my whole life is like an open wound that's oozing. Literally, that's the picture that's being painted here. He says, oh, listen, my soul refused to be comforted. And watch this one. I remembered God and was filled with hope. No, I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Listen, think about that for a moment. Asaph was troubled when he was seeking God in prayer. Asaph was troubled when he remembered God. Man, when I think of God, he says, I moan. I hope we never do that. He says, I am moaning when I think of God. When I remember him, I'm moaning and I'm complaining. And Asaph, he found no comfort in prayer or remembering God at all. That is what I call true trouble. Amen? Man. He says in verse 4, look what happens. He says, oh, you hold my eyelids open. Now, I have accused God of that. You know, Lord, why would you want to wake me up at 2 o'clock? It's 2 o'clock. Nobody in the world or this in Texas is awake at 2 o'clock, Lord. You know, why are my eyelids wide open? He says, why won't you let me sleep? Here it comes again. He says, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I'm so troubled, I can't even pray anymore. I don't want to pray anymore. He says, oh, listen. He says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. In other words, it's like when we say, I remember the good old days. That's what he was saying. And I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. He says, you know, Lord, I remember. Here I am awake in the middle of the night. My eyes are wide open. You won't let me sleep. And I'm moaning. I'm complaining against you. I'm full of trouble. I'm full of anguish. And he says, you know, but when I think back, I remember the good old days. I remember the song that I used to sing to you on the bed, and it was all filled with joy. Amen? That's what he's doing. He says, man, I'm meditating in my heart, Lord. I am searching diligently as to why everything is different right now. He says, will the Lord cast off forever, meaning Israel? Will the Lord just, are you finished with us? Will you throw us away like rubbish? He says, and will he be favorable no more? Has God's mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Meaning to every generation, every future generation. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies, Selah? You know what? Asaph truly needs to pause. That's what Selah, pause and think about it. That's what he really needs to do, because the answer to every question that he asked God is absolutely no. Amen? God is always gracious. God is always faithful. God is always good. Amen? And so he was questioning the Lord, and he's faithful to all generations. And somehow, Asaph, there on the bed, filled with trouble, he has a solution. I want you to look at it, and it's our solution as well. He says, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember," there you go, "I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High," meaning anytime the right hand is mentioned, it's meaning the power of Almighty God. He says, "And I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will also meditate on all of your work and talk of your deeds." Listen, whenever you are full of anguish, if you're full of troubles, boy, I'll tell you, do what Asaph did. He says, "You know what? I'm going to look back, and I'm going to remember all the good things that God has done in my life. I'm going to go back and rehearse them. I'm going to remember the power of God, how he changed this situation, changed that situation." Amen? That's what God does. He says, "And then I'm going to talk to everybody about it." You know what? When you start talking to others about all that God has done, the book of Malachi says what? That God comes down and he listens. He's an eavesdropper. You know, he comes down and he goes, "Oh," and then what you say about him, it says he writes in his book of remembrance. Listen, the best way, if you're in trouble, is start talking about all the things God has done in your life. That is, it's a glorious thing to look back. If you have a journal and you write things down, I do. I write down victory. I write down defeat. I write down all these things. Lord, you've done this, this, and this. And you know, when I look back, I go, "Wow, I forgot about so many of them. I forgot." And I say, "Lord, how good you've been." Listen, that's the way. Boy, meditate on God's word and look back at all the good things. And he says in verse 13, "Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And who is so great a God as our God? The answer, there's no one greater than our God. Amen? There's no Savior besides our God. Amen? No, he says, "You're the God who does wonders, and you've declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph's Selah." He says, "The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out the water. The skies sent out a sound, and your arrows also flashed about. And the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, and the lightnings lit up the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, and your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not" what? "Known." Think about that for a minute. Your footsteps were not known. Listen, in the midst of all that I just read, in the midst of all the trouble or anguish that may happen in our lives, from point A to point B, from birth to death, the new birth to death, amen? Listen to me. Sometimes we don't, most of the time, we don't know what God is doing, amen? But here's what you always need to know, that when you may not know what God is doing, but we know that whatever it is, God is always doing good. He's always doing good. He doeth good, the Bible says, continuously. Oh, man, listen, for we know, I hope that you know, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, not those who hate God, not those who are outside of God, to those who love God, amen? And to those who are called, or the called, according to his purposes, Romans 8:28. Listen, praise the Lord for that. You know, God doesn't say all things are good. He says, but all things work together for your good. Amen? Whenever people are coming against you, the devil comes, whatever is happening, I'm telling you, God is working when you don't see it, when you don't know where he is, and you feel maybe you've been abandoned. God will never abandon you. Absolutely, you can sleep tonight. If he wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, "Oh, there's no reason for both of us to be up," you never sleep or slumber. Good night, Lord. He's got it under control. You don't have anything to worry about. He says, "Oh, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Now, here's the deal. Asaph is no longer troubled. Asaph is at peace. Aren't you glad tonight that our good shepherd, shepherd is leading us. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Now we get to our sermon tonight, Psalm 78. Now, this is a psalm of contemplation, or literally that word means a psalm of instruction, okay? And it is long. It's 72 verses long. It's the second longest psalm of the 150, the longest, of course, being Psalm 119. Now, I'm not going to cover every verse because we'd be here for 3 hours, but here's the deal. The set that you can read it when you get home, but Asaph, he's getting ready to tell us about the ancient history of Israel. And he goes all the way back to Moses, or Egypt, okay? And then he goes from Egypt all the way over to David, the king. So tonight, as we look at this, this psalm tells us about the unfaithfulness of the people of God. But it also tells us about the incredible, loving, tender, caring faithfulness of the God that we love. But listen to me now. Tonight, this sermon, this word, the words that we're about to go over, this is more than a history lesson for us. It is a warning. You know what I mean? A warning about our heart. Boy, a heart that limits God is a heart that's very troubled, isn't it? We never want to limit God. Look at verse 1 with me, Psalm 78. He cries out, he says, "Now give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I'll open my mouth in a parable or riddles or whatnot. And I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard, which we've known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children." That's a very important word. "Telling it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed the law, or a law, in Israel, which he commanded our fathers," what? "That they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children." Boy, let me tell you something. That right there is one of the most important words that can settle in our heart. Amen? When you have children, you love them, you care for them. You know, I was walking over tonight, and one of Raul's and Brittany's little one came over and hugged me. I wanted to capture her and take her away. You know? Listen, children are so tender. They're so loving. And when you find a little one that's taught God's word, that you teach God's word to them, amen? Oh, listen. What a blessing to be around children, the faith that they have in their hearts, amen? And that's what every parent, we have a responsibility. And this, look at this. This is 2,000, 3,000-year-old scripture, whatever it is, 2,000 at least. Loved one, listen to me. He said, teach him the word. That means that God's word is never, never outdated. Amen? It's not, you know, like, okay, it doesn't work for this generation. No, it works for every generation of children. You know, and listen, boy, that is so vital that every parent, they need to rise up and declare the word of God to your children. Why? Look at verse 7. It gives us the answer. "That they," meaning your children, "may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Listen, hope always speaks, I hope, is a future word, isn't it? It's a word of the future. Listen, here's the deal for your children, all children. There is no hope without God. There is no hope without God's word. Not in this crummy, falling world that we live in. No, listen, the only hope that your child, the only hope that we have is Almighty God. He is the blessed hope. Amen? And he may be coming for us tonight. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us about, you know, forgetting God, parents, and so forth. In Deuteronomy 8:11, it says, "Beware," talking to moms and dads and families, "beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments." He says, "Lest when you're eaten, you're full, get that great job, build that beautiful house, move into it, get the furniture, you know, get the garage door open or whatever. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, I don't think we have any cattle in here tonight or at your home, but you know what I mean. And when your silver and gold are multiplied, your CDs and your IRAs and your 401ks are doing great. He says, and when your heart is lifted up. See, it's always a heart problem. He says, your heart, when it's lifted up, oh, a heart that limits God, that's a dangerous heart. And your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Do you know what? It was God who gave them the power to have all of that, and it's God's power and love that gives us all of that, that we have it today. Amen? Yeah. He says, look in verse 8 now. He says, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation. Here it comes. A generation that did not set its what? Its heart aright. Meaning you didn't, your heart was unprepared. Your heart was not fixed on God. Oh, what a word is that. Man, he says, it's just not prepared. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. And the reason? Their heart wasn't right. Man, a generation of people, when their heart is not fixed, when it's not established, when it's not prepared, when it's not full of God and God's word, I'm going to tell you, they're going to get into trouble. Did you know that? And that's what happened to the children of Israel. Man, did you know that any sin can thrive and live abundantly in an unprepared heart? Amen? The heart is where all the, everything comes from the heart. You want to know from the abundance of the what? Heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, listen, loved one. No, I tell you, no wonder God's word cries out in Psalm 23, 26, it's my son, give me your heart. Now look at verse 9. And the children of Ephraim, remember that's the northern kingdom there. That was from Saul all the way to King David, I believe. It says, no, from Joshua to King Saul. It says, being armed and carrying bows, look what they did, turn back in the day of battle. Why did they do that? They were armed, but they were unfaithful, and I'll tell you why. Their heart. Their heart wasn't right. It wasn't prepared. It wasn't fixed. Their heart limited Almighty God, especially in the day of battle, because they started running. And why did they turn back? Why did Christians turn back in the day of battle? Look at verse 10. It's because they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forget his works and forget what? His wonders. Watch this now. That he, meaning God, had shown them. They did not obey the word of God, nor did they even want to obey the word of God. They refused. Why? Because their heart was so far away from God. And the sad results is this. When your heart is far away from God, you know what you forget? You forget the here-ness and now-ness of God. You forget the supernaturalness of God. Do you understand? Oh, listen. Imagine forgetting a miracle. Do you know that I've seen miracles in my life as you have? And I'll never forget them. Never. The incredible things that God has done. Oh, loved one, it says, verse 12, marvelous things God did. Where? In the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea. He caused them pass through. We're talking about Egypt and when they were coming out of bondage, okay? And he made the waters stand up like a heap. I love that story in Joshua. When they were going to cross the Jordan into the promised land, and God, when they were about to cross, the priest and the Ark of the Covenant and so forth, and Joshua, what happened? God backed up the waters all the way to the city of Adam, it says. That was 20 miles away. How could anyone forget that miracle? Amen? He says, oh, listen. He says, in the daytime, he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. You know, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He split the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock. You know the stories. And caused waters to run down like rivers. And what did the children of Israel do? Man, they got out their tambourines, didn't they? And they started praising God and they started rejoicing, right? Well, if you're following me, no, look. But they what? They sinned even more against him. God delivered them from Pharaoh, the land of Egypt, and now they'd forgotten. He says, by They sinned even more and more against him. How? By rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And how did they sin even more and more? Look at it. And they tested God. Where? There you go. Oh, the heart. The heart that limits God. You know what? God can't be tested. Amen. No, you can't tempt God with anything. No, he's God. He says, and they tested God in their heart, though. Why? By asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spake against God, and they said, oh, can God order or can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, literally you could say, oh, yeah, yeah, or oh, sure, okay? He says, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But watch this. But can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Where does all that kind of unbelief come from? The heart. It's a heart that limits God. You know, can God furnish a table in your wilderness, or meaning whatever you're going through in your life? Can God? Man, look at those words. Can God and can he? Those are the most tragic words in the Bible, and those are the words that kept them out of what God was giving unto them freely, and that was the promised land. And I'll tell you something. Those words, can God? Can you do it, God? I'm going to tell you, can he really do it? I'm going to tell you something. Those will limit your victory in your life, loved one. God can do anything. Amen. Well, we need to have that in our heart. Let us never say, can God? Let us say, God can. Oh, the sad heart that limits Almighty God. Therefore, the Lord heard this, and he was furious, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel. Why? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. What words are these? They did not believe in God. They did not trust in God. Unbelief is the greatest thief in the Bible, isn't it? Or in our lives. Listen, we find in verses 23 through 33, which I'm not going to read, that a heart that is filled with unbelief will never reach God's plan and purpose for your life. The first generation, because of unbelief, did they wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Yeah, 40 years. They all died in the wilderness. Listen, they were 11 miles from the promised land. All they had to do was go in and take it. But remember what happened? Oh, the spies came back, you know, and they said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. These giants are in the land. We're like a bunch of insects. Isn't that a horrible word? Did you know unbelief will steal everything from you? Did you know, remember in Hebrews 12, when it says laying aside everything that would prevent us, you know, and it says especially what? That the sin that so easily ensnares us, the sin, meaning a particular sin. What is the sin, the sin that so easily ensnares so many believers? Unbelief. Not believing God. Having a heart that limits God. Now look at drop down to verse 34. When he slew them, when they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God, then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, look what they did. They flattered him with their mouth. Do you think God can be flattered? No. How silly. That's what you call a dumb heart, right? No, he says, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. And here's the reason. For their heart was what? It wasn't steadfast. No, they had a double-minded heart, if you will. Their heart wasn't fixed. It wasn't prepared. They limited God in all that they thought and all that they did, nor were they faithful in his covenant. So what did God do with these flatterers, these liars, these unfaithful believers with unprepared hearts? Look what he did, verse 38. But he, meaning God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Is God good? Is his mercy everlasting? Oh, dear Lord. And how often, here it comes, how often they what? Provoked him, or literally they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. You know, the children of Israel, that first generation, their only cry was this: we got to go back to Egypt. Oh, you know, the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the flesh pots and all of that. Man, listen, that's all they wanted. He says, and here comes that scripture. Great scripture, I pray you never forget. Not once, it says, but yes, again and again, they tempted God or tested God. Loved one, listen, let's don't ever test God. Let's trust God. That's all we need to do is trust the Lord. He says, again and again, they tempted God and limited. There it is. Their heart is so flooded with unbelief. Oh, listen, they limited the Holy One of Israel. You know something? The same God that worked miracles in their sight and loved them and stood with them and led them is the same God that is working in us tonight. Amen? Oh, listen. Let us never limit the Lord. That's what an unprepared heart is. A heart that limits God is an unprepared heart. And not only that, it limits God, which means limit literally there. It means to like draw a line. And say, you know, Lord, you can do everything, but there's a limit to what you can do. You can't do this. The creator of all the universe, the one that said, let there be light, and all the rest, he says, no, Lord, they limited the unlimited God of the universe. What a tragic heart to have. Oh, listen, and how did they do it? How did they limit God? Listen, look at it. They did not remember his what? His power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, meaning from Pharaoh, from slavery and affliction, and when he worked his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan, and turned the rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink, meaning they're in Egypt. Hallelujah. Did you see that karate? Lethal, registered hands. These are holy, lethal hands. Don't do that again. I mean, I nearly karate chopped my pulpit in half. You guys are lucky you're still alive on the front row. If I'd have did my ninja jump, it would have been over with. Forgive me, Lord. Nobody could be so full of bull as I am right now. Okay. No, listen. Where was I? His power is not limited. Amen. No, listen, they didn't remember his power. They didn't remember his signs and wonders. They didn't remember their redemption. There was only one thing that they could remember because their heart was full of it, and that was Egypt. Do you understand? The world. They were full of the things of the world. The only thing they could remember, oh, I want to go back in the flesh pots and the leeks, the onions, the food, and all of that. They preferred Egypt. They preferred being a slave than being set free by Almighty God. That's a heart that limits God. Amen? And that's exactly what they did. Oh, listen, we are in relaunch, loved one. We're trying to open up things and make our doors and other things in the future, in the next, maybe next week or next few weeks, where it's more free. Amen? Each week we're going to get better and better and better. Let's don't put a limit on God and what God can do for Calvary Chapel. Amen? Man, we need to move forward. We need to get in the boat. All hands need to get on deck. Listen, don't ever limit God when it comes to anything in your life, your children's life, your finances, your marriage, whatever it might be. Don't ever limit God. A heart that limits God, loved one, will never have the things that God wants you to have. Oh, listen, drop down to verse 70 quickly. You know, it says in verse 70, he also chose David, his servant. And he took him from the sheepfolds. Remember the little shepherd boy took care of the sheep. Now he's going to take care of the sheep of Israel. Watch this. From following the ewes that had young that he brought them to shepherd or feed Jacob, his people, meaning Israel, and Israel his inheritance. And so he shepherded them according to what? The integrity of his heart. There it is. Boy, there's a heart that didn't limit God. No, David, he cared for them with a true heart, a heart prepared for God to use, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. David was a worker, wasn't he? David was a prudent man. He was a warrior. He was a great king. And you know what? To be a person of integrity like David, remember what it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, and the Lord said to Samuel, don't look upon their appearance or their physical stature, meaning when they were picking out who would be the next king of Israel among all of Jesse's sons. He says, I refused him, for the Lord does not see man as man sees, for the Lord looks upon the outward appearance, for the Lord looks at the heart. He doesn't look at our abilities. He doesn't look how smart we are. Do you understand me? He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need our wisdom. God looks upon a heart. You see, a heart can limit God from selection. Think about that. David said, oh, God said, there is a man. God said, he said, there is a man. He is after my own heart. Psalm 44:21 says, for God knows the secrets of the heart. So how do you prepare your hearts, loved one? How do you say, God, I'll never limit you? There's one of the easiest ways is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your steps. Direct. He will do it. He'll make them smooth. That's what that word makes smooth, make prosperous. That doesn't mean that you'll never be going uphill. Amen? It just means God, wherever he leads you, it's going to work. Trust in the Lord. You know, when we don't trust in the Lord, that's the greatest hindrance in our hearts. And whenever we allow problems to be bigger than Jesus, that's a heart issue, loved one. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now listen, never put a limit on the power of God. One of the great scriptures that Paul the Apostle penned by the power of the Holy Spirit is Ephesians 3:20, where he writes and he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think, according to the power that is working in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, and we're a generation, and forever and ever. Now listen, here's the deal. A heart that limits God will miss the experience that we are privileged to have in the adventure of serving God. Do you understand? I never want to do that. Man, listen, I mean, how can we ever put a limit on God? No, we cannot walk in that unbelief, loved one. Listen, you know, the word difficult, remember, I've said it 1,000 times and you've heard it 1,000 times. The word difficult or too hard or I don't know what to do, they do not exist in God's vocabulary, loved one. And one of the greatest sins in the 21st century church resides in the heart of those who has a heart who limits Almighty God. We can't do that. Oh, let us never do that. Let us learn from Israel of old. Remember what it said in Psalm 78:41. We just read it. Let me read it again. It says, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the limitless Almighty God. The psalmist is written, it says in Psalm 81:13, he writes, oh, that my people, God says, that they would listen to me. Isn't that what a plea from, how many fathers and mothers have said that to their children? If you just listen to me, listen to, you know. Come on. God, he says, oh, that my people, and we're God's people. He says, if you would just listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Do you know that God, our Father, do you know that the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who leads us into all truth, who is working, bringing us from glory to glory into Christ's likeness, do you know that they lament over our lost opportunities? They lament. I had so much for you. If you just listen to me, I have so much I want you to have, but you're going to miss it. You're going to miss what you are privileged as children of God to experience. You're going to miss it. He says, and again in verse 14, Psalm 81, God says, I would soon, if you just listen to me, I would soon subdue your enemies. I turn my hand against their adversaries. Oh, the haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He says, oh, God says, I would have fed them also with the finest wheat. In other words, there would never be a time of famine or spiritual famine in our lives. He says, I would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey, the sweet, wonderful things of God, and with honey from the rock. And I love this. God says, I would have satisfied you only if my people would just listen to me. Let us never limit our Father in heaven who sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Amen. The one who loves us gave himself for us. The one who'll never forsake us. Listen, if you are here tonight, and I say this tenderly in love, I love you, man, but if you are limiting God or saying, can God do this? Or listen, you need to repent. You need to get your heart back and get it right tonight. God's word to us tonight is this, man. Don't miss what you have been called and given the privilege to experience as you follow Jesus in this life, in this world, all the way to heaven. Father, we thank you tonight for this word, a living word, a true word. Oh God, for your people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, this is a church. These are your people, and we will never limit the Holy One of Israel. Never. Oh God, we stand in faith, united, God, that you're able to do all things exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. And Lord, we know you're working in us in this church as well. So tonight, I pray that you would just bring an ocean of your love, and let it just be a ripple and wave after wave over the hearts of your people. May they experience you right there in their seats tonight. May they feel your love. May they feel your embrace as you wash away a heart that would ever limit you. So we give you praise. We give you glory. And we love you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen.